to strengthen our faith from the inside out, for God's sanctifying grace to transform us, to brighten our lights, the lights that are within us. And it also means corporately to reach in, to strengthen the programs that we have, our ministry, our discipleship ministry, our worship ministry for children, for youth, for adults, for all ages. Reach in. Because the reality is we come here once a week or more than that. Hopefully you're here at church for 2 hours every week. And we come here to be fed, to be nurtured, to be full of the Holy Spirit, for our lights to get brighter, our inner lights. But all of that is so that we can be sent out, that we can go out into the world the rest of the week and we can shine the light of Jesus Christ in a world that is often very dark. So we want to reach out more as Central United Methodist Church. You know, a community should be better because the church is in it. And the community of Fayetteville should be better because Central United Methodist Church is here and has been here for generations, for decades. Because the light of Christ is in a community when the church is in it. And I really believe, as I look back over the last 3 years, I can see how God has positioned us perfectly in the community to do more. I mean, Central United Methodist Church, we are really looked to as leaders in the city of Fayetteville, leaders that partner effectively with other nonprofits and ask to solve some of the real problems that plague us as a community. Crime and violence, homelessness, poverty, hunger, domestic abuse and violence, alcohol and drug addiction, these are problems that we deal with, and we're being asked to lead. We're seen as leaders, and I really believe God is saying, yes, you are, and I want you to do more. So we want to do more in 2019. So we turn to the Sermon on the Mount. We turn to this scriptures in Matthew chapter 5. And after Jesus tells the followers about the Beatitudes, he tells them about the meaning of discipleship. He lays it on them. He said, this is what it means to follow me, believers in Christ. This is who you are. This is your identity in the world. And he uses two very simple household things to explain it. You are salt and you are light. You are salt and light in the world. If you think about salt, you know, it doesn't take much salt to flavor a dish. As you sprinkle salt on something, it permeates the food. It dissolves and spreads throughout the food as you stir it. A little pinch of salt goes a long way to season things, to bring life, to bring zest, to bring flavor. Jesus says, you are salt, Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You salty people, we need to keep our salt. And then Jesus says, you are light. You are the light of the world. Now, in ancient times, to have a light in your house was a valuable thing. The small lamps were expensive, and the oil that you put in the lamp was even more expensive. But even a modest family would have had one lamp, and they would have known that even a small, tiny lamp in a dark room radiates the place. It dispels the darkness. It lights things up. So the point is that a little bit of salt and a little bit of light make a big difference. And sometimes we feel so small. We feel like there's so much darkness and problems and struggles surrounding us that we can't do anything. But a little bit makes a big difference. I always thought it was interesting that Jesus, in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 12, says this. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." In John, Jesus says that he is the light of the world. But in Matthew chapter 5, who does he say is the light of the world? He says, "You are the light of the world." Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world. My followers are the light of the world." So here's the reality. Believers in Jesus Christ, we have the light of Christ in us. And we need to keep it shining brightly because it's not for us. That light of Christ we're to take out and we're to shine it for others. We're to let our light shine. You are the light of the world. And that "you" in Matthew 5:14 is not singular. In the Greek, it's plural. Jesus was talking to all his followers. Because we can't do what Christ is calling us to do by ourselves. We have to work with other believers in order to make it happen. We do it together. Because one little grain of salt doesn't do a whole lot. But a pinch of salt, now we're talking. A teaspoon of salt, you can notice the difference. We are salt. Jesus also warns us not to hide this light. Matthew 5:15, he says, "No one after lighting a lamp puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house." If your family was able to possess a lamp, and you had that valuable oil burning, you wouldn't put a basket over it. Of course not. You would want all to see you shine it. And for us as believers, that means we cannot get discouraged. We cannot get down in the heart. We have to continue to believe and to shine our light in the darkness of the world. Not to hide it, not to keep it for ourselves, not to keep it in our community of the church for us, but for all to see. We are a city on a hill. We are a light on a lampstand. This is who we are. So Central United Methodist Church, I want to tell you what God has been doing. I have this unique position that I love as senior pastor, that I get to see all of the ministries. I get to experience everything. And last week, we talked about what God is doing in our discipleship ministries and our worship ministries with our children, our youth, our adults, and how that's working. But today, I want to tell you what's going on as far as our reaching out, what we are doing. And I hope today you might hear some things you didn't know, because I'm always learning things that we're doing that I didn't know, and people are surprised. So I'm going to tell you how we're reaching out. One of the first things is our classic music program. You know, we invested a substantial amount of money as a church in this renovation, in our new pipe organ, in our new music suite. And this was for the purpose of reaching out. It's an outreach to the community of Fayetteville. Because one thing I've learned since I've been here in Fayetteville on Dixon Street, people here like good music. They want good music. And we want to be here on Dixon Street offering sacred music, a place where the music worships our God and worships Jesus Christ, to bring them in. And we've already seen people coming to hear music, to be a part of our music program. And wow, the choir you guys showed us this morning. That was beautiful, beautiful music. Our children's choir sang this morning at 8:30. Beautiful music. And what we want to do is partner with the University of Arkansas music programs, with the local symphony. We want to offer a music academy for budding musicians, for young people. Because you may remember that many musicians get their start, even famous musicians, they start in church. People form a love and knowledge of music and instruments at church. We're also reaching out to a big part of our community. That's the University of Arkansas students. Thousands of students there. at a time in their life where they desperately need a community of faith, where they're making essential, important decisions that affect their entire lives, where they're away from their families, and they need to know Jesus Christ. Our U of A Wesley ministry, 4 years ago, our Wesley ministry had 15 active students. Today, there's an active membership of 85. Our campus minister says that she has seen 180 individual faces in our building on the campus since the beginning of the school year. We are reaching people for Christ. And I worship with them every once in a while on a Tuesday night, and their worship is spirit-filled. And the college students, there is a love for Christ and a deep passion and spirit that they come up and pray at the altar. They share in community and fellowship. And not only do they worship within their community, but they're reaching out to the campus. They offer weekly Zumba classes, an ultimate Frisbee pickup game on campus. They participated in a Make a Difference Day that the university sponsored. They hosted Sorority Rush in our building, where hundreds of sorority girls came through, and they host a graduate student lunch every week, reaching graduate students on campus. We also reach out to those in our community that are shut-ins, that are homebound. You may not know this. Our visitation team has expanded dramatically over the last year. There were 539 individual visits this year to Arkanshire, Brookstone, Butterfield, Clarity Point, Catherine's Place, Shiloh, Morningside, and Walnut Grove. And that doesn't include monthly visits to 24 people who live alone by themselves at home and can't get out. We average about 60 visits a month by our visitation team. And we also reach out to those who are not able to come to church. We have an average of 45 people that worship with us online every Sunday morning, and I'm going to say hi to them right now. We love you, you're a part of us, and we care about you even though you can't get here. It's an outreach. You know, our church has a history of reaching out in the community of Fayetteville. And as far as I know, the history goes back to a group that got together and created what's called Good Sam and continues today to collect food and clothing to help people that need help and have Christmas and at Christmas time as well. And Good Sam sponsored CEO, which is a vital part of our community. And also, a group 20 years ago started our community meals program. You may not know that we feed hundreds of people every Tuesday and Thursday here on our campus. And it happens. This is what God does. A Disciple Bible study class got together and they said, "Do you think we could feed hungry people?" And they said, "We're going to do it." And 20 years later, we're still doing it. Hot meal twice a week. All of this started Central's heart for community, and Actions and Truth Ministry came out of that, our annual Hope event, and ultimately led to Central's Genesis campus on MLK Boulevard. Recently, I'm going to share all these stories I just heard. These are all from this week. A woman came to community meals for the first time. This week, her husband is incarcerated. She's living alone. But she was not just looking for a hot meal. She was looking for a place to belong, a community to connect with. So our folks, they prayed with her. They welcomed, invited her to small groups to be a part of us. Now, let me tell you about Lunch Buddies. That sounds like a pretty simple program, Lunch Buddies. But let me tell you, this program is amazing. 70 people volunteer every week from our church to have lunch with a child in the community. We're reaching out to the community of children. And, you know, to have lunch with a child that needs a positive influence in their life, that needs somebody to value them and care about them, to be a role model. And our Lunch Buddies, they don't only just have lunch with kids, but they provide food and gifts for teachers at parent-teacher conferences. Because parents in these schools sometimes don't or can't support the teachers. They also buy books for children on book fair days. I didn't think about that. I mean, I remember my kids loved book fair days. When they got to go and pick out a book for themselves, and I'd give them a little bit of money to do so, And it didn't occur to me that some children aren't able to do that. And we do that for them. Last week we had Beyond Our Walls, which twice a year we get outside of our walls and we go into the community of Fayetteville and do work in the area. One of the things we do that I love, we go to Washington Plaza Apartments, which is next to Asbel Elementary, where a lot of our lunch buddies are. We've gone there for 4 years, so we're starting to have relationships and make connections and know people. We just set up, we cook burgers, set up a bouncy house for the kids, we have crafts for the children. We tell the gospel story and hand out Bibles. Kids love to receive a Bible. Children will read the Bible. And these are children's Bibles. This is what the volunteers told me. They said, one little boy said he read the Bible he got years ago so much that it is worn out. A mom said her older child received a Bible, but her younger child's been wanting one and was so glad to get a Bible. One of our volunteers noticed a woman standing there and offered her. She said, would you like a Bible? And the woman began to cry. And she said she'd never had a Bible. When you get the Word of God into people's hands and people's hearts, the Holy Spirit moves and lives are changed and transformed. This is what God is doing through us. So let me tell you about Central's Genesis Campus. One of the things they do really well is they don't try to do it all by themselves. They partner with all the nonprofits in town, Seven Hills, Salvation Army, Potter's House, Decision Point, Magdalene Serenity House, and others. And everybody now, it's only been 4 years, but everybody in town knows to send people to Genesis. Organizations like CEO and LifeSource and the Housing Authority and the VA and the school counselors, they say, have you tried Genesis? Did you know 40 to 50 people a day walk through the doors of our Genesis campus for help? They are welcomed by an army of volunteers, and you can volunteer there. And the volunteers welcome them, they show them hospitality, they value them and honor and give them dignity. They offer them food and snacks and coffee. And they're not just given forms to fill out. Our volunteers get to know them. They form a relationship. They find out what they need. They pray for them. They're passing out Bibles and a book called Jesus Calling to everyone. And they tell me, our volunteers there, they tell me that material needs range from all sorts of things, not just food and clothing, but things you'd never think of. Antibiotics. Someone needed shoes to start a new job. They had no shoes. Maybe help with rent, or a tire that needed repaired, or a bed for a child that's sleeping on the floor. Some need a one-time handout. Others need long-term help and partnership and support to get out of their situation. When people fail, it's usually because they don't have a support system. God has called us to be a support system, and lives are changed. I was told about a woman who lived in the woods who found Genesis. She'd been in and out of prison since she was 15 years old. Genesis helped her with a job search to find housing. And now not only does she come to worship, this is really important because we see this again and again, the people that we serve, they begin to serve. She volunteers to serve food in the kitchen. She went out to serve with Beyond Our Walls. And she says this is the longest stretch she's lived in her life outside of prison since she found Central's Genesis Campus. You might not know that we have an after-school program called Wise Kids that 25 at-risk children come on Mondays and Wednesdays each week. Volunteers mentor and tutor and drive buses. People tell me, sometimes they'll say, I believe in what we're doing in missions, and I want to give my money to missions. And I say, great, but I want you to give money to food and clothing and housing helps, but let me tell you something, but I need you to give money to the operating budget, because when you put money in the offering plate or give online, that money goes to really run these ministries. I cannot run ministries without personnel. I cannot run ministries without a building. And the money that you are giving us to support these ministries and the time you're volunteering is what's making it happen. Last year, at the end of 2017, we had a very poor operating budget offering for December. And the finance committee came back and asked us to cut our budget 10%. And we found cuts that we needed to make, but it affects all of our ministry, including our mission and outreach. Our personnel costs are about 54% at our church, and a lot of that personnel is at Genesis. We've grown our personnel budget significantly over the last 3 years at the Genesis campus, and we cannot afford to cut back on our personnel or the funding for the maintenance of the building. So I guess I just want to encourage you, the money that you're giving the church is doing such amazing, good outreach. Everything I'm talking about today, you are making this happen through your generous and faithful giving to our operations budget. You want to hear some more examples? I could go on and on. I'm going to run out of time, but I want to give you a few more. This is what God is doing. It's so fabulous. Let's talk about Housing Helps Ministry. In 1 year, last year, 200 people we helped find permanent housing. That accounts for 90 families. Our church aids with deposits. Sometimes they just need a deposit to get into a house or apartment. First month's rent, home furnishings. And this is great. We could not afford, because of our budget cuts, to hire this person, but we had a stipend, a grant, for 2 years, and we hired a new person that they have already designed a home welcome team, where they have a group of people that when a person goes in a new house, they come around them, and they bring them a care package, pray for the family, and do a blessing of the home. And this person that we couldn't afford to hire, and we're hoping we can maintain, also has put together life teams that surround these families with support. They follow up with employment and budgeting help to make sure they stay employed and they stay housed. This is so important. Okay, let me tell you about Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery is a Christian program that helps people recover from addiction, but it also helps them recover from all sorts of habits and hang-ups and hurts that are preventing them from moving ahead with what God wants them to do in life, and it introduces them to Jesus Christ. Last year, we made a strategic decision to move our Celebrate Recovery program from this campus to the Genesis campus because people were having trouble getting here. And so a year ago, we had about 15 to 20 people in Celebrate Recovery. Just this October, we now have over 50 people coming every week to Celebrate Recovery. People are being freed of addiction. Praise God. I learned of a woman who was brutally beaten and almost killed by her ex-husband. She now suffers, she's disabled because of the attack. She was prostituting herself in order to pay for her rent so she wouldn't end up on the street. She found Celebrate Recovery and Genesis. She now has an affordable place to live. She prays for others. She serves on Sundays and during the week. And maybe most importantly, she's found a community of people who love her and care for her and support her, and she loves them back. She recently wrote all of our staff a long email thanking our church for what we're doing. Prison ministry. You may not know that our church goes into the Washington County Jail and also the Wrightsville Prison. We are out of our operating budget. We support programs like Pathway to Freedom and Returning Home to help reduce the 70% recidivism rate of people that return to prison if they're not properly helped when they get on the outside. Our prison team goes into the unit. They sit with men in small groups. They worship with the prison band. They share the gospel of Christ, and they hear testimonies about what God's doing, and lives are being changed. People in prison are often forgotten, and maybe one of the most important things they do is they value them. Matthew 25, verse 34, Jesus tells a parable. And he says, "Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.'" As much as I could talk about how we're reaching out in the community of Fayetteville, and I could go on, I do want to mention that our reaching out does not stop there, but we reach out around the world. For 2 years, we've sent teams to Cuba. Cuba is experiencing a revival and an explosion in churches and the worship of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And our church has been building churches, repairing a nursing home. An elderly lady said she had been praying for Christians to come to Cuba for 8 years, and our team was the first one that showed up from Central United Methodist in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And Greg Gibson is leading a team to go to Cuba in January. I'm going to go with them. And I'm challenging you, I need a small group that's going to supply us with some supplies that we're going to take with us into Cuba. And the group that usually does that can't do it, and I'm going to challenge your small group. If you can do this, come ask me or Greg. We'll give you a list of things that's easy to do. You can collect supplies. And then there's Uganda. We've sent teams to Uganda for 12 years. Our church supports pastors, built churches in northern Uganda, built a school and an orphanage, and sponsored children and orphans. Our church has sent teams for 20 years to the Amazon, Colombia and Peru, and places where the gospel has not reached. It's amazing. Central, you've helped build two facilities to house mission teams, an indigenous training center, sponsored a boat for boat ministry, and given away thousands of Bibles. This comes out of our operating budget. Central, you are the light of the world. You're shining your light for Jesus Christ. Every single minute you volunteer, every single dollar you put in our offering plate, every time you support our operating budget, you are shining the light. And a little grain of salt doesn't make a big difference, but when you put all this salt together, boy, we are salty. And a little tiny light doesn't make that big of a difference, but when you put all these lights together, we are the light of the world. And Christ needs us. What God is asking us to do is more. I believe God's saying, you are going in the right direction. You just keep your foot on the gas pedal and go. Because my Holy Spirit is empowering you to reach more people for Jesus Christ. And the great thing is, God has positioned us to do this. And what I love is we don't only help with material helps or physical helps, but we offer relationship and community and dignity. And more than anything, we offer Jesus Christ. For when people really get to know and they give their lives to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in and changes their heart. And the Holy Spirit comes in and changes their life, and they're not the same. They're transformed, and their life is better every day after that. So we must shine our light so that people will know Christ. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." Central, shine your light. Shine on. Shine on. Shine on for Christ. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, give us the courage, the motivation, the inspiration to shine our lights in a dark world. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the light of the world. Amen. Well, I invite you this morning into discipleship, as believers in Christ, to follow Christ and live out your identity. And I hope that you will consider whatever God is asking you to do as you move forward in this week with our Lord and Savior. And I invite you to stand as we sing our closing hymn.